Welcome to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie coming to you from St. Benedict Center in Richmond, New Hampshire. Our websites are Catholicism.org and Reconquest.net. That's Reconquest.net. My email address is bam@Catholicism.org. That's bam@Catholicism.org. You can find me on Twitter at Brother_Andre. And you can look for me on Facebook if you're interested. Just search for Brother Andre Marie and you will find me. This evening's episode is episode number 141, and I'm calling it A Conference for the Next Generation. We're interviewing Mr. Brendan Young, who works for the Fatima Center. He's going to be the master of ceremonies at a conference that's coming up in September. We'll give you all the information about the conference as we discuss this. But let me just first introduce Brendan, who is, again, the master of ceremonies. He's from Buffalo, New York, and he began writing for the Fatima Center. This is the work of Father Nicholas Gruner, may he rest in peace. He started writing for this Fatima Center and for the Catholic Family News, which is a fine Catholic traditional newspaper, in 2012. Having spent several years in Rome, he is fluent in several languages and is a regular contributor to various traditional publications, as well as regularly writing and translating for the Fatima Crusader and Fatima.org. And if you remember nothing else, you want to know about this conference, you want to find out more about it, just remember to go to Fatima.org and you can scroll down and you will see there's an events heading, and under events, I think there are two events currently, but this Fatima Youth Conference, which is called Fatima for the Next Generation, is going to be advertised there with all the information about it. So without any further ado, I'm going to bring Brendan on. Good evening, Brendan.
Good evening, brother. Thank you for having me.
And thanks for coming. Digitally with the wonders of Skype. So we're going to have a conference. I didn't say very much about it in the introduction. I didn't even talk about the fact, I think, that I'm speaking at this conference, which is kind of exciting. Why don't you just give our listeners an overview of what the conference is, the necessary stuff, the dates and the location and all.
Sure. Well, the conference, as you mentioned, brother, is called Fatima for the Next Generation, and it is the Fatima Center's first international conference for youth. We've had a number of conferences, including bishops' conferences overseas, all over the world, really, in the past 30 years. And the last major conference held by the Fatima Center was in September of 2013 in Niagara Falls, Ontario. But we've had, since 2013, a number of weekend conferences called Our Lady's Army of Advocates conferences. And these have taken place across the United States, and they're really great opportunities for bringing like-minded Catholics together. And those Catholics have a varying knowledge on the message of Fatima, on Our Lady's apparitions, on her requests, and what they mean for us today in 2018. But usually these conferences have gathered, I want to be diplomatic and charitable here, have brought together an older contingent, middle age and older people. So really, we at the Fatima Center have been focusing this year on marriage and the family. Of course, Sister Lucy told Cardinal Cafara that the final battle, the ultimate battle between, ultimately Our Lord and Our Lady, of course, and the devil, would be fought over marriage and the family. And so it's vital that we reach this young contingent, young people, youth particularly, who of course make up, we can say, the third leg of the family. And also, we really haven't done too much per se to reach out to young people specifically. So this conference is, as I mentioned, our first youth conference. and we will be welcoming young people ages 18 to 29. And so perhaps some of those in the older range of that group might be married, and of course they're welcome to come. You don't have to be single. But we're looking forward to this conference as being the first youth conference. Hopefully there will be others in the future if all goes well, God willing. And we really are looking, and this conference isn't just for young people who are traditionalists. It's not just for young people who only go to the traditional Latin Mass. And really, we can say that technically you don't have to be Catholic to come to this conference. So if there are any young Catholics who are looking to bring along a non-Catholic friend or family member, they're more than welcome to do so. So this conference, Fatima for the Next Generation, it's also a response to the upcoming synod in Rome in October, the synod that's going to be focusing ostensibly on young people, on the youth, and on vocations. These are the two themes that this synod will focus on. Of course, the last synod to take place was in 2015, and what came of that was Amoris Laetitia. So, unfortunately, the many negative things coming out, or heterodox things, or heretical things, truth be told, of these synods, this modernist inertia seems to be growing, and things are getting worse. As far as the faith is concerned, faith and morals. So this conference, Fatima for the Next Generation, is our response, that is the Fatima Center's response to the Youth Synod.
A couple of things that I'd like to ask you about what you just said. First of all, the you're talking about the Synod on the Youth that's coming up. So this is a Synod of Bishops that's going to be meeting, where bishops from all over the world are going to be meeting in Rome to discuss things that are relevant to youth. And then you also talk about how this conference that you're having is in response to it. The last two synods were all on marriage and the family, and as you pointed out, they give us Amoris Laetitia and that whole disaster that's still causing so much damage, and the damage is progressive because it's continuing to go. So, in other words, we're skeptical, and we have good reasons to be skeptical, that anything good, in fact, that much bad will come out of this upcoming synod on youth. Is that correct? We're skeptical, right?
Skeptical is putting it on. It's putting it, I guess, charitably, or putting on the more positive side, because as a traditional Catholic writer has mentioned, for example, I think back to these themed synods and these years dedicated to different things. I know. John Paul had the year 2002, 2003 is the year of the Rosary, and what came of that? The Luminous Mysteries. Mm-hmm. We've had the year of the Eucharist, the year of St. Paul, the year of the priest, the year for consecrated life. And as one traditional Catholic writer put it, you know, when we have these years of things or these synods, they always seem to ruin whatever it is that they're focusing on.
Yeah, the year for consecrated life was the year that the Franciscan Friars of the Immaculate started getting persecuted for getting too traditional.
Right. So it seems to be rather counterproductive. So when we have the extraordinary synods, 2014 and 2015 on marriage and the family, you know, we came up with Amoris Laetitia, with Holy Communion for the divorced and remarried, those objectively living in an adulterous state. So this upcoming synod on youth and on vocations, especially given the World Meeting of Families, which will be taking place in Ireland next month, and this month actually, in a few weeks in Ireland, the Fatima Center will also be there. And then, of course, with the Holy Father's recent document on cloistered contemplative religious, I mean, there's obviously a clear agenda here on the part of the Holy Father, on the part of those working behind the scenes. I don't know, God knows, as St. Paul says, but it would seem then from past experience that another storm is on the horizon.
This conference upcoming in Ireland, which I understand you're going to have a presence at, and I think you did a YouTube video of it on the Fatima.org site talking about the rapid response team that y'all put together to go out and sort of, I guess, protest or make reparation. Is that it?
Yes, yes.
So that event is going to feature none other than Father James Martin, S.J., the notorious homosexualist Jesuit who's constantly plugging the LGBTQ agenda and trying to get Catholic. And in fact, I think that's exactly what he's speaking on, how we should be welcoming to homosexuals.
Exactly.
Now, so obviously we're highly skeptical and we fully expect that something bad's going to happen from the Synod on the Youth. Could you, for our audience, do a kind of a contrast? So what do you expect from the Synod? What do you expect the Synod to be doing? And in contrast, what do you hope to accomplish with this conference for youth hosted by the Fatima Center?
Well, it's, Brother, just to give you an example, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, and many of your listeners will be well aware of this. In these sessions and meetings and even and especially this online back and forth, there was a private Facebook group preparing, organizing this upcoming Youth Synod. There was a questionnaire that young people were invited to fill out, and so many young people who were compiling, well, really answering these questions, were asking for and really requesting the attention of the Synod Fathers regarding their desire, their need for the traditional Latin Mass and the traditional liturgical life and the traditional teaching, the constant teaching of the true Church. And that was just thrown out. It was disregarded by those responsible, those in charge. And this is an example, the perfect example, really, the primary example, and proof that this synod, like previous synods and recent actions, especially on the part of Pope Francis and his administration, there's a clear agenda. And you can say, for example, you know, one can claim that, well, all of the Synod Fathers in 2015 were listened to, everyone had their chance to speak. At the end of the day, what came out? Amoris Laetitia came out. And so there obviously is a clear, driven agenda that's going to be pushed through no matter what.
Yeah, and it's more than just an agenda, right? I mean, they're actually rigging it. So as I had read one of these things in, I forget where it was, but intelligent young traditional Catholic man wanted to be a participant. He took his participation in the synod very seriously, and everything that he said about, I guess others had done this too, everything he said about the need to educate and form young Catholics in the traditions of the Church and how the traditional Latin Mass is something that's good for the youth, all that stuff got thrown out, which tells me probably the same thing it tells you. We have a bunch of old men who are old radicals who are setting up a synod, quote-unquote, for the youth, where they basically want the youth to tell them what they wanted to hear in the first place, and then they'll tell everybody this is what the youth want.
Right, and this is this whole situation, this upcoming synod, is just, we can say, the latest part in the ongoing diabolical disorientation in the Church. And that is why that is what we are responding to at the Fatima Center, that this drive confirmed and fed by the Pope, by the bishops, to confirm young people in their worldliness or in their concessions to the modern age or to the so-called development of doctrine, really the enshrinement of heresy. This diabolical disorientation needs to be countered, needs to be fought head on. And so Fatima for the Next Generation, this conference, will be a means of opposition to the synod, but really an antidote. So instead of making young people feel comfortable, you know, and encouraging them in their relativism and, you know, in their indifference, both as far as faith and morals are concerned, no, our conference is going to reiterate and is going to proclaim the constant, unchanging and unchangeable doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ and of His true church, the Catholic Church. So the points that the Synod on Young People in Rome in October will be visiting and I'm sure destroying in its own way will be met in the different talks of our conference. Mm-hmm. So for example, how to learn and how to teach the faith, vocations, morality, especially regarding purity, chastity, modesty, other social issues or cultural issues or moral issues like marriage and the family, regarding abortion, regarding homosexuality, regarding marriage. This will all be included. And of course, so we will have answers to the questions that young people are raising. And besides answering, we can say, the synod, we will also have, of course, it's called Fatima for the Next Generation, and it's an event that's being hosted, really, by the Fatima Center. So it's not just about a response to the synod as such. It's not just about current events or timely issues, as important as they are and as vital as they are and needing to be addressed today in the church, but also it is about Fatima. So we will have talks about Fatima, plenty of information about Fatima, because many young people, like their parents, like their grandparents, like the too few who know something about Fatima, we know, for example, that Our Lady asks us to pray the rosary every day. We know that she wants us to wear the brown scapular. We know something of the great miracle of the sun that took place, but we don't know about all of Our Lady's requests. We don't know about Fatima's importance in the history of the church and in our own day. We don't know about the necessity of Fatima as such. And so the conference will be, as I said, really re-educating, and I put re in parentheses because some of these young people in attendance will not have heard even the bare minimum about Fatima, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're inviting them to come to really learn to discover and to learn more about the answer for our times that heaven gave us in Fatima.
Great. You're listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. This is Brother Andre Marie, and I am interviewing Mr. Brendan Young, who is going to be the Master of Ceremonies at a conference that's taking place in September in the Buffalo area of New York in a place called Grand Isle. All right. We lost Brendan there for a bit because of a Skype issue, but we're cutting this back into where we left off. Brendan, as I understand it, there are multiple points of contrast between the Synod on the Youth that's going to be going on in the Holy See or in the Vatican and the conference that the Fatima Center is putting on. And I guess you don't need to talk too much about the Synod anymore because what they're doing is bad and what we hope to accomplish is good. So let's try to talk about the good stuff more. But I guess one last point of contrast that I think the listeners might be interested in, because it will show the difference in approach and the difference in philosophy between the ideologues that are doing this in the Vatican and the traditional Catholics who are doing this up in Buffalo, and that is that what this sort of rigged synod process seems to be agitating for is to have the youth in this kind of faux democracy telling the hierarchy how they want the church run and how they want to see things changed and all that. And this, of course, will serve to push through a more progressivist agenda by the synod fathers. But I think what you're trying to accomplish at the Fatima Center conference in Buffalo is not, hey, we want you to tell us, you know, how we should be Catholics, you young people, but here, younger people, this is how to be Catholic. These are the things that you need to know to believe like a Catholic, to act like a Catholic, to live like a Catholic, and to pass the Catholic faith on. Is that a point of contrast?
Absolutely. I mean, I just think of the act of faith, and I think of the catechism, and there's nothing complicated about Almighty God. There's nothing complicated about the Catholic faith. You either recognize that Almighty God is God and that the Catholic faith is the true faith, or you don't. There's no bargaining. There's no negotiating. There's no changing. You accept the faith as it's always been taught and lived, and you do the same. And that faith is handed on, preached, and handed on from generation to generation. So if I'm Catholic, it's not because I want to be a Catholic of my own persuasion, but if I'm Catholic, I'm Catholic because I'm convinced that it is the true faith founded by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that doesn't allow me to say, well, I'm Catholic, but, you know, I'm Catholic, but, you know, gay marriage is okay, abortion is okay. Or I'm Catholic, but, well, the Eucharist is just a symbol, or Our Lady wasn't always a virgin. No, I'm Catholic, and in order to be Catholic, I accept the entirety of the Catholic faith. And so I'm not looking to be affirmed in my immoral choices or in my heresy. You know, I'm not looking for comfort. Comfort's nice, but to be Catholic is to follow the God-man who was crucified and who, in the gospel, enjoins all of us to take up our cross daily and to follow him. So if the Pope, if the bishops, if the priests, the entirety of the clergy, if they're really living according to their vocation, then they will be teaching and encouraging and preaching the Catholic faith as it is truly, and young people won't be encouraged or invited to, you know, to pick and choose. And really, young people especially, I'm 27, so I think I still qualify as a young person. Young people, in my experience, especially Catholics, want sincerity, they want honesty, they want integrity, they want orthodoxy. And they're always, if they're not lazy or if they're not otherwise disposed, they're up for a challenge especially. Mm-hmm. So what is more challenging to a human than to truly live out their Catholic faith?
Now,
go ahead.
When you speak of challenging, that brings us to the roster of speakers. So I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be giving a talk entitled "In the World But Not of It: Being Catholic Amid the New Paganism," and I'm going to be talking about the basics of spiritual life for young Catholic adults and how they can approach life in a post-Christian and sort of neo-pagan world. But I'm going to guess that that if I'm compared to the priests who are speaking, I'm going to be one of the least challenging ones, because as you and I both know, Father Isaac Merirellia is sort of the power broker of preachers. He can occasionally cast fire on the earth as our Lord willed, sort of in napalm fashion. But always to good effect. I mean, I've been at conferences where people, he had been a speaker in previous years, and I mean, he was very much remembered and either feared or they were overawed by his presence. And so can you just give a rundown of the speakers real quick and what might be expected of each one of them?
Sure. So if, I guess we could go in order then. The conference starts Friday afternoon or Friday the early evening with the Rosary and Holy Mass. And then Father Daniel Couture, who is the District Superior of the Society of St. Pius X in Canada, will be not really as much of a doctrinal conference, but really an interesting and engaging presentation on the Shroud of Turin and how to use the Shroud as a modern-day tool of apologetics, all of the lessons that can be learned from the Holy Shroud. Then Saturday, Matthew Plies, who is a younger traditional Catholic blogger and author, he runs a Catholic Life blog and is also involved with catechismclass.com. He will be presenting apologetics, learning the true faith in an age of apostasy. So many young people, traditionalists and we can say quote-unquote mainstream Catholics, those usually attending the Novus Ordo, you know, they love their faith, they're attached to their faith, but they realize they're the first ones to admit that they need to learn their faith better themselves, and they're not sure how to defend their faith and how to teach the faith to others. So Matthew's talk will be focusing on apologetics. He'll be followed by Father Shannon Collins, the pastor of Our Lady of Lourdes personal parish for the traditional Latin Mass in Covington, Kentucky. Father is also the founder and the superior of the Missionaries of St. John the Baptist. So he's a well-known mission preacher. And Father will be talking on a very important topic, vocational discernment in an undiscerning age. Many young people today, for different reasons, because of technology, because of their own personal formation, because of the culture, the society in which we're living, they don't know how to listen to the Holy Ghost. They don't know how to make decisions in a fruitful way, in a good way, and we're brought, and perhaps you've experienced this yourself, brother, as superior of your community, young people don't know how to discern a vocation, wherever that vocation, if it's to the priesthood, the religious life, to marriage, they don't know how to discern properly, and unfortunately, one of the big problems of our day, which I've heard it described by priests and religious, is the problem of perpetual discernment. Mm-hmm. Young people don't know how to come to a decision. And that's for different reasons. That was the problems, the dearth of religious vocations, of priestly and religious vocations. I mean, that was already prophesied by Our Lady of Good Success in the 1500s and 1600s in Quito. So Father Collins will be speaking about vocational discernment, which is really needed, I would say.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. Absolutely, it's needed.
And hopefully, Some vocations will come out of priestly and religious vocations will come out of this conference. I mean, this isn't a vocations fair or a workshop or whatever, but you know, it would be wonderful to see the power of grace at work in this endeavor. And as you mentioned, then following Father Collins, there will be lunch and then the rosary. But after lunch and the rosary, Father Isaac Mary Relier will be talking to young men about purity and eternity. So focusing on chastity, on modesty, of course, as they apply to young men. And of course, we have this this really. There's no other word to use it, but this endemic, this crisis affecting young men today, and that is pornography. Mm. It's inescapable. I mean, it's affecting so many young men, countless young men and women, but especially young men, and it really needs to be addressed, even among traditional Catholics. You know, it's not traditional Catholics are not immune to this problem. Mm-hmm. And Father Isaac is renowned for his preaching, his mission preaching and speaking, as you said, brother. And he's really no respecter of persons in the sense that he doesn't give in to human respect. He doesn't give in to concessions to the modern age. And so young men will certainly appreciate, maybe not at the time of the conference, but certainly in their future and in view of eternity, they will appreciate what Father has to say to them.
And he's also an excellent confessor who's got a reputation, yes, of spending hours upon hours in the confessional, yes, after he scares the heck out of people with a talk, yes, like this.
Exactly. And Father, as far as I am aware, and I've had, you know, some experience around the world, and I've come to know many priests, secular and religious, traditional and non. I've never met any priest more dedicated or more versed in the moral theology of St. Alphonsus. So Father really has that that grace and that gift to offer to the Church. The traditional moral theology of St. Alphonsus. And while Father is speaking to the young men, the young women present at the conference will have their session with a young woman named Julianne Hartman. Julianne is from Canada, from Ontario, Canada, and she is the music director of St. Peter's Church in New Hamburg, Ontario, so the Society of St. Pius X Chapel there. She is a talented musician, and she will be speaking to the young women about the beauty of feminine modesty, and she's qualified to do so. And so the young women, of course, as far as these issues are concerned, well, purity, chastity, modesty, you know, they as they concern young men and young women, you know, it's better to address them separately.
That's, yeah, and that was good thinking, very good thinking.
Right. So there will be the separation of the sexes for that. Following that in the afternoon will be your own talk, In the World Not Of It, Being Catholic Amid the New Paganism. And as you mentioned, you'll be bringing up some basics and some practices of the spiritual life for young people, especially in this day, how to be Catholic, how to be a good Catholic, and how to persevere despite the many obstacles that are placed in our way. And then after that, In the evening, Father Couture will again speak, and he will be giving the keynote address, and that is the role of young people in the Church and the world today. I've heard Father preach, I've heard him speak, I've seen him helping to direct a pilgrimage, and so Father brings 30 years of priesthood, all of his experiences throughout the world in the missions here at home. So I'm sure that with all of that, it will be a very exciting talk, a very interesting talk. Not one of these speakers on the roster, and I know them all, is dry. And so I think they'll be very engaging and very well received by young people.
Mm-hmm. And then Sunday we've got, how do you pronounce the gentleman's name? Is it Childs or Childs?
Dr. Andrew Childs.
Childs, okay.
Dr. Childs is a professor at St. Mary's College in St. Mary's, Kansas. He's also academic dean there. He teaches music, he teaches public speaking, he's the chair of humanities. Dr. Childs has spoken at various Catholic Family News conferences. His expertise is, of course, music. He himself is a musician. He's a great singer. And he will be speaking on his talk, I believe, is called Answering Charity's Song, The Necessary Embrace of True Culture. Young people today, and I've experienced this in my own life, I don't want to get too personal, but traditional Catholics, Novus Ordo Catholics, what have you, they want to fight back. They want to fight, as I mentioned, young people are up for a challenge. But they want to participate in the counter-revolution. They want to turn against the tide, but they're not sure how, or they don't know or understand the means available to them to do so. And one of those is music. And, you know, and real meaningful, wholesome, traditional, cultural, and social activities in general. And Dr. Childs is really the best man that I know who can address that. Following Dr. Childs will be John Henry Weston, who needs no introduction, but he is the editor-in-chief of LifeSiteNews.com. He's been on the forefront of the, not only the pro-life battle, the battle against abortion, but also LifeSite News has become this immensely popular resource for news about the crisis in the church, about what's going on in the church and throughout the world, not just the church. But John Henry will be speaking on Catholic answers to the toughest questions on faith, life, and family. So I imagine that this will run the gamut of different issues, whether that's abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, contraception, what have you, and as well on the faith and the family in general. And then the final talk as such will be presented by Father Michael Rodriguez of the Diocese of El Paso in Texas. Father Rodriguez, I'm sure, is well known to your listeners. He is a traditional Catholic priest who no longer says the new mass. He hasn't said the new mass for a number of years, and because of that, basically, and his stance on upholding the true doctrine of the church, really has been exiled. And he has spoken at a number of Fatima Center conferences. And his talk will be called Our Lady of Fatima and the Way That Will Lead Souls to God. Mm-hmm. So that will really be the talk specifically or especially focusing on the message of Fatima. And I think that's really needed and will really be appreciated, kind of a Fatima 101.
Great. That's so good. I know. I have never met any of the lay speakers, although I've corresponded with John Henry Weston. But the priests, I've been in the presence of all four of them. The one I've had no conversations with, but I saw him at an event, was Father Daniel Couture. I believe he was the priest who literally did the burial for Father Gruner, right? After
That's
Bishop
right.
Fellet did the funeral mass. But Bishop Fellet had to get on a plane or something, so Father Couture actually finished the ceremonies and buried Father Gruner. But Father Isaac Miriam, really, I knew from seminary days. I mean, I knew him before he was a priest, and I know he's for real. I mean, this is a great priest. Father Michael Rodriguez, I've seen lots of him on YouTube. But then I recently, a couple years ago, had the good fortune of meeting him and speaking with him in private for quite a while. And this man has a reputation of being a saint. He's very, very firm, but very gentle and a wonderful complexus of a lot of things. I mean, you look at him and you hear him talk, he's so humble and meek, and then you find out how brilliant he actually is. He speaks a number of different languages, and he's got a great command of the authentic doctrine of the church, and he obviously loves Our Lady and loves the Mass. Father Collins, I've been at one of his missions, and he's been here to St. Benedict Center years ago, and he's a very dynamic preacher, and not just in the sense of some like one of these EWTN personalities who can be all dynamic and then he's a fraud. He's not right. That at all. He's legit. He's the real thing. He lives a very pious life. I know him, and I know his some of the other men that he's with in this new endeavor, the Missionaries of St. John the Baptist. So I'm looking forward to just, if nothing else, I'm looking forward to hanging out with these priests, not hanging out, you know, in some worldly sense, but learning from right. them and hearing them speak and being in their company. I guess before we wrap up, we got about 14 minutes left. There's a quote from St. Augustine in the flyer, and there's a paragraph that follows that famous quote from the Confessions that I'd like to read, because my next question sort of is based on it. Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. This is the quote from St. Augustine's Confessions near the beginning. Then the flyer goes on, like St. Augustine in his time, many Catholic young people today are restless. They believe in Jesus, but they are not sure what relevance he has for the challenges they face. How can they learn about and grow in the true faith while dealing with the pressures brought on by school, work, family, friends, society, and culture, and the pleasures and temptations that surround them? Many young Catholics don't know what the Church teaches on issues that are important to them. Many others have never even heard the message of Fatima. This must stop. So I guess what I'm looking for from you is, how do you, now this conference is specifically for 18 to 29 year olds, and I'm informed reliably by one of the other organizers that they can't go down, they can't allow, you know, anybody younger than 18, and they have very good reasons for that. But how do you reach that generation, 18 to 29 year olds? Is there anything that we need to do to specifically to help pass on the faith to them? And then the younger generation, because one of the most disturbing trends, as you probably know, is that when you look at the demographics on things like abortion and marriage and homosexual acceptance of the so-called homosexual lifestyle, and this general sort of sexual and gender fluidity that you see out there, the young people are the worst demographic. So while most people today are not for same-sex marriage, they think they're for natural marriage statistically, as you go down in the demographic in age, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And of course, if you get them at that level, if you hit them below the belt and have them thinking unnaturally, how can they think supernaturally by way of passing the faith on to them? So do you have any insights as to what's the trick, or what's the method that best works for passing on the faith to the demographic that we're reaching with this conference, and then the demographic younger than them?
It's a tough question, brother.
I thought so. I worked on it.
as I mentioned, I'm 27, so I find myself in this demographic myself. Just kind of preface this. I have a smartphone, and I have social media accounts. And while this conference is not a retreat, we would participants in the conference would do well to try to stay off their phones as much as possible. We're restless. Man has always been restless because this world is not our home. We know that well. And of course, St. Augustine knew that. And no man can be completely satisfied or at rest on this earth, because our true home is in heaven, and we weren't made for time, we were made for eternity. As a young person myself, I've been tempted, and I've lost an incredible amount of time. I couldn't tell you how many countless hours I've lost, to my shame, of course, on social media or, being online. So really, young people need, it is possible to live without your smartphone. It is possible to live without social media. You're not going to, have a stroke if you don't go on your Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat account or Twitter or whatever, even for a few hours. So if you find yourself restless, if you find yourself looking for answers, real answers to real questions, you need to step back. And you may not be able to go on an Ignatian retreat, for example. You may not, because of whatever circumstance, find yourself able to go away and get to a retreat house and just completely power off the world, whether it be for a weekend or 5 days or a week or 30 days. But this weekend conference is doable. And it's an opportunity also to be able to speak. I mean, there will be four priests on hand, I guess you could say by reputation, the toughest would be Father Isaac, but I'm friends with Father Isaac, and he is a very gentle man.
Oh, he is. He's, he's very charitable.
Affable. He's always laughing, and he's great with young people. So young people, whether they're coming from a traditionalist mission where the priest is in and out for Sunday Mass because he's on the circuit or whatever, you'll have the chance to sit down and speak to priests. You may want to go to confession, and that's wonderful, and there will be ample opportunity to go to confession. But even if it's just to sit down with a priest and speak outside of the sacrament of confession, you'll be able to do that. You'll be able to speak to the other speakers as well. And the great part about these conferences, of course, are the talks. But there will be, all of the meals are included, your hotel stay is included, and you'll be able to sit down and socialize and have fun and just speak with Catholics, fellow Catholics your own age. So that's a great opportunity, especially for those who are coming from places where there aren't too many like-minded Catholics. But getting back, I want to invite young people to come, not just for the talks, but just for the social aspect of this, because I think that they'll really enjoy that. But getting back to your question, brother, it's a loaded question.
Yeah, by the way, I asked the question knowing that I myself have been unable to answer it. I mean, because I don't think there is a magic wand. Oh, I know there's not a magic wand.
That's what I was going to say. There is no one magic answer to this. Everyone is, in a sense, we're all the same, but everyone is different. We all come with our own background and our own sins and our own social situations. Our jobs, our vocations, our education, it's all different for each one of us. So this is what I would say, which has always been the focus of Father Gruner's apostolate. You know as well as I do, in fact, you know better than I do, brother, how divided our church is, besides how divided our world is, but even within the mystical body of Christ, the Catholic Church, we're so very divided. I mean, you have, and of course I'm a traditional Catholic, you know, you have the traditionalists versus, so to speak, the Novus Ordo. You have Opus Dei versus the Charismatics. I mean, you have all of these different groups and movements within the church. And among we traditionalists ourselves, we're so divided. Mm-hmm. You know, the Society of St. Pius X versus the Fraternity of St. Peter. Those who hold, I mean, different positions. Well, let's leave it at that. Final position.
I was noticing when I looked at the list of speakers, there's another conference called the Catholic Identity Conference. It's happening, I think, in November, where you've got priests from all different institutes. What normally, traditionally, I should say, or in the last few decades, you'd expect these guys to be at each other's throats, but right. they're sort of calling this conference a Unite the Tribes conference, and that's the one in November.
And right. Well, as John Denary liked to say, traditionalists are a loose confederation of warring tribes.
Yeah, and I think he got that from Gary Potter, because Gary Potter, right. I heard him say that once at a conference, and I literally laughed out loud. We're a loose confederation of warring tribes. But I noticed that this conference is similar, because of these priests, I mean, I can tell you which ones have faculties from from their bishops and which ones don't and things like that. But this is something of secondary importance. I think it's great right. to see the SSPX and Father Isaac and Father Rodriguez and Father Shannon Collins all right. on the same on platform.
And this is and as well among the lay speakers too.
Yeah. I mean, and they're even letting me in.
Right.
We're all serious about the crisis in the church and about saving souls.
But what I'd like to emphasize here, brother, is this. What unites us here at this conference and what has always been the appeal and the refreshment of Father Gruner's work in the Fatima Center is the focus on Our Lady of Fatima. Mm-hmm. On her message at Fatima. Because if her Fatima requests are not heeded, we will not have peace. Mm-hmm. We will not have the restoration of the church. We will not have the triumph of her Immaculate Heart. And our world will continue to deteriorate, I mean, with war and terrorism and all of our other problems. But if Our Lady's requests at Fatima are met, we will have peace in our church and in our world. If we're doing what we were asked to do at Fatima, if we're living according, you know, if we're doing our daily duty as our state in life requires, if we're praying the daily rosary, if we're making reparation, if we're wearing the brown scapular, if we're making those five for Saturdays, and doing the best that we can to adhere and you know, just live according to what Our Lady wants of us. That should be our focus, and ultimately, that is the answer here.
Yeah.
Because there's no one magic answer to everything as such. But Fatima, we can say, it's really what the only solution that I can see, and maybe brother you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you have other thoughts, but I don't see whether it's anything in the church or in the world, you know, religious or secular, the Fatima is the only possible solution that will unite us and that will sanctify us. Of course we you know, there's no salvation outside of the church, and you know, I don't want to say that Fatima is this magical you know, you know, we do carry out the the Fatima request according to the letter of the law, and just, you know, first of all, you know, I'll do everything that Our Lady asks, but then I don't have to worry about going to Sunday Mass.
I mean, Fatima has a whole worldview, a whole economy, whole...
Exactly.
I mean, everything... John Vinari gave an excellent talk years ago that I've read and reread and that I've quoted before about a worldview in the light of Fatima, and it's
right.
beautiful. It just assumes
right.
an entirely cool. Catholic economy.
Right, and that's still available, by the way, from the Fatima Center for those who would like to get a copy of that. But, you know, my point is, Fatima, it contains the what Our Lady said, her message, her request. All of this includes the entirety of our faith.
Yeah, Brendan, I'm afraid we're out of time. But if the listeners want to find out more about this conference, they go to Fatima.org, right, and scroll down
right.
to the events tab.
Right. So Fatima.org, and we also have, for those on Facebook, you can search Fatima for the Next Generation, and they'll be brought to the event page.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight, and I hope we get some more attendees because of this. You've been listening to Reconquest on the Crusade Premium Channel. This is Brother Andre Marie. God bless, and Mary keep you.